Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? Unfinished Business. Now, today's sermon is a story sermon. I haven't shared one of these for quite a while with you. So, as is our custom, you will not find a sermon outline in the handout. I'll be sharing a story with you, but make no doubt about it, in, with, and under the story is a sermon, a special message for you today. Based on our gospel reading from Luke 14, listen again just to a few verses. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned to them and he said, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and he is not able to finish, all who see it will mock him, saying, 'This man began to build, but was not able to finish.' So therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciples." Again, the title of our story sermon is Unfinished Business. Joseph and his wife, Wendy, walked hand to hand into the room holding hands. At first glance, you could tell this was the office of a lawyer. It was designed to impress. It was designed to intimidate. And it did both very well. "Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson," a petite lady said from behind a massive oak desk. "I'm Beatrice Slater, your father's lawyer and the executor of his will." She arose and came forward to shake their hands, and she gave what was meant to be a comforting look, but you could tell this had been practiced hundreds of times. "I'm sorry for your loss," she said. "Please be seated." Joseph settled into the firm, plush leather chair. He still couldn't believe he was there. He looked quietly over at his wife, Wendy. She was holding up pretty well, considering the circumstances. As she sat in her matching chair, she put her hand to her tummy. She was 7 months pregnant, and it showed. This was supposed to be a happy time for the couple. Joseph thought to himself as he looked at his wife's tummy, "Dad didn't even know about our baby yet." Joseph had to lower his eyes. They were beginning to well up with tears again. "Mr. Johnson," the lawyer began from behind the desk, "I understand it's been some time that you've had contact with your father." "Yes, it's been almost 2 years since I've spoken to Dad." "I see," the woman said, hardly blinking. "Well, I should tell you that in your father's last times, his situation has changed, and he had to rewrite his will." There was no big surprise to Joseph, for he knew his father had fallen upon some hard times. Several years ago, his mother had died and Dad didn't handle it very well. He got himself into some big problems. In all honesty, both Joseph and his wife were surprised there was anything left in Dad's estate or will for them to be discussing today. "As part of your father's last wishes," the lawyer continued, "he recorded this tape to be played for you before the contents of his will were read." In her hand, she held up a video cassette. For the first time since arriving, Joseph noticed a large TV in the corner of the plush office. He looked over to Wendy. She looked as apprehensive and anxious as he did. Considering what his father had been through, there was no telling what was going to be on that tape. Mrs. Slater seemed to sense the apprehension. "Is something wrong?" Joseph said, "Have you seen the tape? What was my father's state of mind? Should my wife leave the room?" The lawyer looked a bit puzzled. "I've seen it, Mr. Johnson. It's fine. You have nothing to be concerned about." She got up and put the tape into the machine. The lights were dimmed, and on came the picture. Joseph and Wendy both sat still. There on the screen sat a well-groomed, well-dressed older man. He seemed very calm. Joseph couldn't remember the last time he saw his dad look so good. The figure on the screen fidgeted with some papers for a while, then took a deep breath. He looked into the camera and he said, "Hi, Joseph. And Wendy, too, I hope. Since you're watching this video, it means that I'm dead. I hope that before you see this, I've had an opportunity to reconcile with you. If not, then please accept my apology. There's nothing I wanted more than to make things right between us. In part, this is why I'm recording this message to you today. I didn't want there to be any unfinished business between the two of us. First of all, let me tell you, Joseph, a father couldn't be any more proud of his son. Every time I looked at you, I saw so much of myself. The two of us are closer than you might think. Two peas in a pod. And I don't just say that because you became an architect like me. But knowing how much you are like me, I just want to say that I'm sorry. I'm sorry things haven't worked out better for us yet. I'm sorry that I have made so many mistakes in my life. And I'm especially sorry that I begin to see you, son, making the same mistakes that I made. Some of my story you know. Some of it you don't know. So I want you now to hear it all so you can learn from me and not make the mistakes I made." Joseph and Wendy looked at each other, and the tape continued. "It's hard to know where I should begin. I should first of all tell you that my parents, your grandparents, were very religious, strong Christians. They raised me in the church from since before I can remember. It was a big part of my childhood. I bet you didn't know that. As a family, you, me, and your mother, well, we went to church maybe once a month. Your mother wanted to go more. But things always seem to get in the way. The life of an architect is a busy one. Many Sundays I'd be out of town. In the winter, we'd be taking you to hockey practice on Sunday morning. In the summer, there were the special basketball camps. Your mother wanted to go more, but things kept getting in the way. When you went off to school and became an architect yourself, you told me there didn't seem to be much time for God or church in your life either. Now, I blame myself for that. I know that you still believe in your Lord, son. I know that Wendy believes, too. She's been probably trying to get you to go to worship more often. Son, you should listen to her." Joseph found Wendy's hand and gave it a squeeze, and she squeezed his hand, too. Father had hit the nail right on the head. They were just talking about this very thing before they made the appointment with the lawyer. Neither of them, though, had taken their eyes off the screen. Joseph's father continued, Your mother died 4 years ago, and son, you know I didn't deal with it very well. She was everything to me, and I was lost without her. I fell apart. I hated myself for not being able to do anything else for her. We knew her disease was terminal, but we tried everything, even experimental treatments. I put everything we owned, everything I had, in trying to find a cure for her. I hated God for taking her away from me. Shortly after she died, I went off the deep end. I don't know how else to describe it. I started playing cards. I started gambling. It was a way for me to escape, to get some control back in my life, or so I thought, but I was totally wrong. Now, throughout this time, the people from our old church kept in touch. They tried their best to get me through it all. But I guess at the time, I wanted none of it. I was still angry with God. I decided I would go it alone. I figured he wasn't there when I really needed him. So what was the point now? Shortly after you and I stopped talking, son, I hit rock bottom. I personally don't see how things could get any worse. I even thought about taking my own life. My family was gone. My savings were gone. I racked up some big debts gambling. I lost everything, even my health. I couldn't eat or sleep. Everything I had put my trust in this world, had let me down. There was nothing left for me. At least, that's what I thought back then. But then, good old Pastor Marshall showed me otherwise. Joseph's eyebrow raised. Well, Pastor Marshall performed Dad's funeral. Until that day, he thought that Pastor Marshall had long retired and moved away. Apparently, he was still at the old church. Had he and Wendy been gone from church that long? I don't know why exactly his father went on the tape, but one day out of the blue, there was a knock at the door, and there stood good old Pastor Marshall. He was the one who baptized you, Joseph. Anyway, he said that he hadn't seen me for a while and wanted to know if everything was okay. I told him that everything was not okay. I proceeded to tell him how just not okay everything was in my life. I laid into him pretty hard. I had a lot of stuff to get off my chest. Pastor Marshall just sat there and let me vent. He took everything I threw at him. Now, how vulgar and angry it was. His first visit with me lasted nearly 4 hours. But when he left, after we prayed, I knew that something had changed in me. Over the past 9 months, I've had many meetings with dear old Pastor Marshall. He's always been there for me. I'm sure there are times he's been really frustrated with me. But he helped me work through a lot of stuff. Son, it's the kind of stuff I hope you never have to go through. I guess the real breakthrough came for me when Pastor and I began to work through just a little passage of the Bible, a passage from Luke. I'd like to read it for you. As he fumbled to open his Bible and put on his reading glasses, Joseph's dad looked up at the camera with a sheepish grin. "I bet you never thought you'd hear a sermon from your dear old dad, did you, son?" Joseph couldn't help but laugh. His father began to read. "Now great multitudes accompanied Jesus, and he turned to them and said, 'For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it began to mock him, saying, "This man began to build, but he was not able to finish." Therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciples. When he finished, he took off his reading glasses and he rubbed his eyes. Joseph could see in the camera that his dad was beginning to lose his own composure. "Son, being an architect, this passage hit me pretty hard. You see, all along I thought I was being a pretty good Christian. Tried to live the best I could. Do right by your mom, even get you to church, you know, when we weren't too busy. I thought that's all there was to it, son. But I was wrong. So wrong. The whole time you were growing up, the whole time your mother was ill, during all that time afterward, there were barriers between me and God, and I didn't see them till now. I'd put my work first. I'd put my finances first. I'd put my family first to the exclusion of God and my real heavenly family. I put my trust in technology and money and my own abilities. In the end, they all let me down one by one till I had nothing left. Everything I've done in my life, son, until these past few months, had been one monument to my own stupidity. My life was like that unfinished tower in Jesus' words in Luke's gospel. My life was full of unfinished business. And no matter how hard I tried, I wasn't going to finish it either. That's what the Bible's talking about here in Luke. That's what Jesus is saying. I tried to build my life into something to be proud of. Instead, all I built was an empty shell. I tried to fight against everything this world threw against me, but I lost. My son, by ourselves, we just don't have the resources it takes to get through this life. Our own building supplies have to come from somewhere else. Joseph, they come from Jesus. He is the supplier that will help you build your life so you can have a life that you're proud of. He's our captain that leads us to victory. Joseph, he is what I've been missing all this time in my life. All that time I spent so busy with my job and my family kept me from seeing that Jesus has already made us a part of his heavenly family. He's our brother. We are his sons and his daughters. We were born into his family when we were baptized. And as our brother and as our Savior, Jesus gives us all the stuff we need to get through this life and everything that's thrown at us. Joseph, you can find everything you need for this life in his word and in his Holy Supper, where all of us sinners learn of his love that sent him to the cross and gave him the Easter victory for us. Joseph, I can't tell you how much knowing and finally trusting these things have finally changed my life. I'm a different person now. All because I've come to know and to trust that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Even after all the stupid things I've done to myself and to him. Son, that's what I wanted to share with you before I go. You don't have to do all the stupid things I did. You don't have to go it alone. You don't have to have your life be an unfinished tower. Don't leave any unfinished business between you and God. You have Jesus with you even now, and he will make all the difference in the world. Closing his Bible, taking his reading glasses off his nose, Joseph's father looked into the camera and he paused. I love you so much, Joseph. I hope you know that. I'll be watching for you and waiting for you in heaven. Take care of Wendy and make sure your children know Jesus. As the image of Joseph's father on the screen turned to electronic snow, Joseph came to realize that his wife Wendy had walked behind him and had put her hands on his shoulders. He didn't even realize it to that very moment. The lawyer quickly turned the room's lights on and she said, "And now we'll get on with the reading of the will." A short while later, Joseph and Wendy emerged from the lawyer's office with a small box. After paying back his gambling debts and planning for his funeral expenses, the father only had enough money to leave a small donation to the church. All that he had left to give his son was his old Bible. As Joseph stopped to look at it, he discovered that the dog-eared cover had inside a handwritten bookmark. It was the handwriting of his father. On the front of the bookmark, it said in his father's own handwriting, "Consider the cost, then look to Christ, who paid the price." On the back of the bookmark was a message, a phone number, and a brief note, and it read, "Son, this is Pastor Marshall's phone number. He's waiting for your call. Love, Dad." In the name of Jesus, amen.